Continue our Bible study. John, Daphne, you don't know how much it blessed me tonight to see you back up front with your children praising God. Amen? That just tickled my heart. Amen? And you had, and then you raised Joshua up high enough where I could reach his butt without bending over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love the children. I love the parents. I love the grandparents. I can relate with grandparents. I've been there, done that. So tonight, as we continue our study, hope with help, and we're building a course off of Romans 5:5, where it says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. And we have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit. And we thank God for our helper. How many is grateful for their helper? Amen. I don't know what I would do without the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit gives guidance and direction, and it's just totally amazing what the Spirit of God does. So tonight in Psalm 16, so turn with me to Psalm 16. I thought about titling each one of these, but then it just becomes like a regular preach man I am. Word. And we're grateful for J.O. Thank you for standing up to the plate and hitting the home run on Sunday for us and taking care of the body. We're grateful for you. Amen? Amen? God's doing some wonderful things. Sometimes we have to step into get out of our comfort zone and step back into that uncomfort zone to get to the place that God wants us to be, right? Amen. We remember and just remind ourselves that the call of God is irrevocable. It does not change. Even though circumstances and things come in life, the call of God doesn't change. Amen. God knew you before you were ever created, for the foundation of the world. The Bible says he knew you. Amen. So it's kind of amazing. So tonight, and the psalmist is speaking about the joy of God's presence. I don't know. It says in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Amen. In verse 8 of Psalm 16, it says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. I just want to make a point here in the Hebrew where he says, my glory rejoiceth. And he's speaking his glory at this point is his tongue. His tongue is rejoicing. His tongue is giving glory to the Lord. And remember that the Psalms are all songs sung unto the Lord. So the glory in this case is he's giving him glory through his tongue and through his mouth. So first thing we want to look at this evening is the rejoicing. Amen? The rejoicing. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, or my tongue rejoiceth. So the rejoicing first, look with me in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse number 2. The word of God says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Remember, we're speaking about hope is the substance of things, faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. So sometimes, like tonight, God was trying to encourage us to offer a sacrifice of praise. I want you to understand something with me. The Lord tries to meet everyone, okay? God cares about everyone. And I know with me, in my history, back in the conference I was at this weekend, they did all the old songs, and I love all the old songs. Amen. Some of the old songs are so powerful, and they're strong songs. But at the same time, it wasn't all about worship. It was about praise. It was about a lot of dancing in the aisles. It was about I lost my voice, and I didn't have my voice from 2 days. I lost my voice from shouting and praising the Lord for 2 days straight. You know, I couldn't stop giving them praise. I couldn't stop giving them glory. Amen. And I was giving them praise and I was giving them glory for you and for what God's doing in your life. You know, I'm here to celebrate you and what God's doing. You know, I'm only effective for the kingdom of God if you become effective for the kingdom of God. If you don't become effective for the kingdom of God, I didn't do what I'm supposed to do. I missed it somewhere. Amen. So we're rejoicing in the hope. Amen. So when we're looking at that hope, and remember our focus verse is hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. So the Holy Ghost helps us to go ahead and rejoice even when we don't feel like it. Okay, so what I want to look at first is the fellowship. The fellowship. What do we do on Wednesday nights? We gather together to hear God's word and fellowship together. But then we go downstairs. You know what happens? We have the same group over here, and we have the same group over here, and we have the same group over here. Sometimes I'd like to see someone just intermingle and change seats. Man, you talk about revival. Amen. If I came in and saw you sitting someplace else, it'd be like a revival. Hello? I'm not saying this in a critical way. I'm saying this in a loving way because after the day of Pentecost and they were all filled with the Spirit of God, there was something that took place besides speaking in tongues. There's something that took place instead of just shouting unto the Lord. There was something that took place instead of just giving the Lord glory. And Acts chapter 2, verse number 46, it says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, if Mr. Jones comes into this house and Mr. Jones comes to a fellowship and he's not being received as a family member, Mr. Jones might feel like he's out of place. One of the things the disciples and the apostles did in the early church and those at the church, they fellowshiped together. They broke bread together. And we know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but for every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But God wouldn't talk about them fellowshipping house to house and breaking bread and eating together if it wasn't valuable and it wasn't important. You know, what happens so much in the body of Christ is whether it becomes a Sunday or a Wednesday experience, and then we leave them out there for the rest of the week and wait to see them the next week, and that's when the adversary comes in. That's when he really attacks. Usually he doesn't attack them when they're in church. You know? He attacks them when they're feeling alone. He attacks them when they feel like no one cares. You know? And, you know, so it's important. The fellowship part is important. Look to the one next to you and say, God wants us to fellowship together. God wants us to fellowship together. God wants us. Dusty and Dusty, turn around. Speak to each other. God wants us to fellowship together. Hallelujah. You know, in other words, God wants you and I to put action to the word. Amen. Because faith without action or faith without works is dead being alone. So if my words and my word doesn't have any action to it, it's just dead and dull. And when they started doing this, all of a sudden there was the favor of God that came. Amen? How many need some favor in their life? Come on, let's be real. Amen? Look with me in Acts chapter 11. The word of God says in verse 23, who when he came, speaking about Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Now, how many know that part of our fellowship and part of our koinonia, our gathering together, is also to encourage one another to continue in the things of the Lord? Amen? The Bible says we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But it takes a while for the old things to die. And it takes a while to build the new. Amen. In other words, we're taking somebody out from the world. We're leading them to Jesus, saying, hey, you got a new beginning. And then we're not helping them along the road. Amen. And God didn't call anybody to be an island. God's calling us to help one another in this journey. Amen. That everyone is valuable and everyone is important. Amen. So he says there's also the fruit when there's the fellowship and the body is glad and rejoicing, there's favor. In Acts chapter 14, verse 17, there's also fruit. The Bible says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Food and gladness. I don't know. When I eat the perfect steak, I am glad. When I get the unperfect steak, I'm not that glad. But in other words, he gives us a fruit. Remember, the food, it's important that we need food for our bodies, but we need the bread of life and the food. Blessed, you know, man can't live by bread alone, but for every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we need the food of the word also. Amen? Sounds like me singing. Secondly, we find not the rejoicing in our text, but we also find the rest for our flesh. Amen? You know, we sang a song, if you're tired and lonely, there's Jesus. Amen? We said that Jesus reigns in this place, and the place that he reigns in is our heart and our lives. Amen? And we want to give him the preeminence and the throne of our lives. So the rest in Psalms 37, verse number 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. This is a big thing for all of us, to rest in him. He gives his beloved rest. And most of the time when we're trying to carry things that aren't ours to carry, we are sleepless. We don't slumber. We don't get rest. And then we're weary. And then we're tired. Amen? You know? Cranky, yeah. Any cranky pants in here? When you get tired? How about when you're rested? You know? In other words, here's one of the biggest keys you have to understand. God says for us to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And if we do not cast our cares, then we carry them. And if we carry them, it steals our rest. And if it steals our rest, it steals our energy. If it steals our energy, it steals our health. If it steals our health, it steals our well-being, okay? They run hand in hand and hand together. So to find rest in the Lord, we have to learn to release. One thing that God wants you to understand as his children, you worrying about anything will not change a thing. All that will do is put burdens on everyone around you and start arguments and fights. Why do you think the adversary wants you to worry? Amen. But he said, the peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. So we find the rest. To find this rest, it calls for us to make the choice. The choice. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved, and quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. What did he say? For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, and returning in rest shall ye be saved, and quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. In other words, there's an option. He's saying to us simply is this: you either believe me at my word and put it to practice in your life or not. But don't come crying to me when you're all miserable and things ain't working and you won't apply the word. This is the only thing I have to give you. Amen? Is the word of God. And the prophet Isaiah was saying, hey, you could have had your confidence, you could have had your rest, you could have had your strength, but you wouldn't do as the Lord asked you to do, as he guided you and I to do. You know, he says to you and I in his word, the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord, and he finds delight in his way. How does he find delight in his way? By following his steps. It's a step-by-step process. Amen? You might not like it, but that's what it is. You have a choice to receive the calmness that the God wants to bring to you and I. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus made it very simple for us. He said in verse 28, he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In other words, if you're overbeared with burden and you're weighed down, you're carrying things that don't belong to you to carry. God says he will never allow more on you than you can bear. So if it's overbearing, what you have to do, you have to release the weight. Amen? To find rest. And I'm not only, and he's speaking here, we find rest for our soul through the Spirit of God, but he's speaking about rest for your flesh, for your body. Amen? This body is the temple of the Lord. Amen? And he wants us to be healthy and whole. So the completion of this comes in Hebrews chapter 4. He said, verse number one, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. In other words, unless we believe God in his word, it can't have an effect. And we said that faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for, the evidence of things that are not seen. And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a God, and is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So if we want to find that rest, he says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God's already prepared the way for you and I to find rest. So he is saying to you and I tonight, he says, hey, the hope we have, we're looking at hope with help. He's given us a helper that God's called us to be rejoicing with our lips, giving him praise and glory. He wants us to praise him. Amen? I mean, if you look at Revelations and you look at the heaven and you look at what eternity looks at, they never stop praising and worshiping him. Amen? This is our dress rehearsal. He's already clothed us with his righteousness. So we're clothed. And we're clothed in his, with his righteousness. We got to remember who we are and what he's called us to do. Amen? Here's one of the things that's so important for you to get a hold of. If you're trying to raise your children or young people or anything, this thing, do as I say, not as I do, will not work. It does not work. We're to lead by example. If you want your children to praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And they'll start praising the Lord. Amen? Amen? It's just like, hey, you know, I heard somebody say this the other day. He said, well, you know, he's got some issues in his life. He said, well, that's the way God created me. That's just the way I am. That's why he says we have to be born again. That's why he says we have to be recreated. Amen? Because sin has messed ourselves up. So we find first, we have the rejoicing, we have the rest, and thirdly, we have the reliance. The reliance. And 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 8. The word of God says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. Amen? In other words, it comes the faith, the reliance, to believe in God at his word. So if I'm believing in him at his word, I have an expectation. And I have this in, and Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 14, let's look at verse number 31. Solomon says, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him have mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that have understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is towards a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. This calls for us to examine ourselves. And I love what the Word of God says in Acts chapter 24. The Word of God says this, Paul's being tried, and he says, and have hope towards God, verse 15, which they themselves allow also, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Amen? We're to be at peace with everyone. Amen? It means that both are going to be raised from the dead, one way going the other way. The righteous are resurrected at the trump of God, where the dead in Christ shall rise, and the unrighteous are resurrected after 1,000 years after the millennial reign of Christ. They come before the judgment seat of Christ, but we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Is that correct, Jael? Yeah, okay. So this speaks of eternity, amen? What we do now has an effect on eternity. And if you look with me in Colossians chapter 1, Verse number 4. Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, and he says in verse 4, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in the heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. In other words, this is our hope. Amen. We have a hope for now. We have hope for eternity. Amen. And eternity is a really long time. Amen. If you think things are going slowly in life, you know, when you get a little older, they start speeding up. I remember when I just couldn't wait to be 18. And then I couldn't wait to be 21. But after that, it stopped. I couldn't wait for nothing else. I wasn't looking for any of the other ages today. I didn't want them, but they came anyway. Amen. You know what my wish is? That I would do everything that I can to please the Lord and be a blessing to others. Amen. You know, it's just amazing. You know, I was with Morris Cirilla in ministries, and it was so interesting that he has led so many people to Jesus, and he has so many sons and daughters, and he has like 5 million partners, okay? It's just amazing, and there was people there from all over the world, and it was so exciting. It was so exciting that God called us to a world ministry. If you look on the sign, it says World Evangelism Center out there, and it's been kind of hidden and mixed into the marquee. But God's shifting, and things are about ready to happen and take place, and it's an exciting time, amen. And it was kind of amazing, and what I say is amazing. God is my witness. The visions and the things that the Lord spoke to my heart about, and the words that I said to you and to others that I'm ministering to, the exact words, word for word, were spoken by the men of God. I'm just saying, word for word. And it's all around the world. Okay, and it's the same exact thing. There's nothing, it just totally amazed me. And what God was doing, and he was affirming what he had said to me, that I was hearing his voice, and he was affirming with apostles and prophets from around the world that he is speaking to me the same way that he's speaking to them, and he wants to speak to each and every one of us in the same way. Amen. It's kind of interesting, and we're going to get into this later sometime. I don't know when. But Morris Cirilla is 88 years old, and one of the things is that spoke to my heart, he said he's not looking for a successor. He's building an army. Amen. And God called us to build an army for the kingdom of God, and there's some exciting things that are coming. So hang on, guys. I'll say something to you right now. You're at the right place at the right time. Amen. You're going to see things begin to happen. Things are going to move in ways you've never seen before. And this last move of God, which the Lord has shown me, nobody's ever witnessed it before. And it's never happened before. It's the final outpouring before his return, you know. So it's an exciting thing to be involved with. But we have a reward. Paul writes to his student Titus. And Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So God's called us, that my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. The rejoicing, he wants us to be in fellowship. When we're in fellowship, we receive favor, and there's fruit that will be produced. My flesh also shall rest. He gives us the choice to be calm and the word, to understand that this has already been completed, and hope, the reliance, we're to have the expectation, we're to examine ourselves and look to eternity, amen? And there's a blessed reward. So in closing, can we rejoice and be glad and rest in the finished work of Calvary, relying completely on our Lord and Savior who brings us our eternal rewards. Amen? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Amen? It's not going to hurt if we get a little excited about Jesus. Hello? Got you. Can we all stand? Can we pray together? Can we lift our hands to heaven, guys? Father, I thank you for every man and woman and child in this room, Father God. I thank you for the call and the anointings upon each and every one of them, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for your word. You sent your word to accomplish something in each and every one of our hearts. So, Father God, our prayer tonight is to allow you to arise and the enemy to be scattered. And every different way that the enemy has come in, whether it's physically or mentally or spiritually, emotionally, financially, Father God, I just pray, Father God, that you arise in every circumstance and every situation. We bind the adversary, recognizing that we're men and women of authority. You've given us all authority. When you said go, you transferred authority to each and every one of us. May we recognize and realize who we are in Christ Jesus, that we're more than conquerors through you, Father God. We're the victors. We're not the losers. We're the winners. Father God, there's not a loser in the room. Each and every one is a winner. So I pray divine blessings upon each and every one. I will never cease to give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.